You know, you want to say something significant and profound as you step over the threshold into a new year. And this last week, my family had a little vacation time up at our home in the Mendocino County. And I did a lot of reflecting about what I thought some of the most significant things are that we could consider to challenge us to rise higher and become more like Christ. Isn't that what you want? You know, I was thinking that my greatest challenge is not so much that I don't know enough. My greatest challenge is I forget to follow what I do know. You notice in the scripture reading this morning, I want to thank our young people for doing such a good job through the year. We always invite our young people up front to read the scriptures to us. Peter says, I want to bring you into remembrance. I want to stir up your mind, because the Bible tells us that typically we have a tendency to forget very quickly what God is trying to say to us. Something about the human mind, the way it works, we have a filing cabinet in our mind. And we file things, as you learn from day to day, in priority. Someone said a filing cabinet is a place where you lose things alphabetically. Ever heard of that? But you put things in different places in your mind based upon priority, and everybody files a little different. Some of you who do office work maybe have had the experience of coming into position and following a clerk, and they had a whole different way of filing things, and you can't find anything because their filing technique was different, even though they used the same cabinet. And it's really interesting sometimes the way people's minds work. Our brains work from day to day. Sometimes when people start losing their memory, they begin with what they call their short-term memory. They'll tell you in great detail. I remember having a church member over 100 years old, and he could tell me about presidential races around the turn of the century and what their positions were and who ran against who and how many votes they got. If I said, what'd you have for breakfast, Clyde? He didn't even know if he had breakfast. You know, we have problems with our short-term memory sometimes. That's also true in our experience with the Lord. We have a tendency to take the things of God and file them in the short-term memory category. You know, I believe that before Lucifer assumed the image of the serpent or possessed the serpent and tempted Eve, I believe the Lord warned Adam and Eve. We have inspired commentary that happened, that there was an enemy about and they were to be on their guard. We know God told them to watch out about the forbidden tree. I don't think 5 minutes after the warning, the devil tempted Eve. I think a few days later, when that short-term memory had started to lose its color, that's when the devil came. It's incredible how quickly we can forget what God is trying to tell us. My challenge this morning is going to be for you to remember to remember. There are things you can do to remember the priorities. I'd like to turn your attention to a verse in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture this morning. And you may want to take a pencil out and write some of these down. You may not remember them all. Nevertheless, Jesus says, Revelation 2, verse 4, speaking to the church of Ephesus, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You know, sometimes marriages begin to deteriorate because the couples forget the way they first saw each other, the way they felt. And you need to revive and renew that. Sometimes in a person's relationship with the Lord, we forget to do the things that initiated that love relationship, and it starts to dissipate and evaporate. And Christ then says to the church, remember therefore. What is he telling her to do to find the first love? Remember. Remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent. Repent for what? For forgetting. Repent and do the first works. In other words, the Lord says, if you want a revival of your first love, how many of you would like to love the Lord with that same fervor and zeal and emotion that you felt when you first gave your heart to Jesus? Only a handful, huh? Would you like a revival of that experience plus some? The Bible tells us what to do. Remember, think about what it was like. Say, what was I doing back then that brought around that relationship? And do the first works. Do it again. I know when I first started coming to the Lord and I was learning these truths, I was in the Bible all day long. I was thinking it and breathing it and sharing it with everybody, and it just every corner of my life, I became aware of the realness of God. See, I'd been an atheist. And the idea that God was there and that you could talk to Him anytime, for me, was a staggering thought. And I found myself talking to the Lord and thinking about the Lord in every little detail of life. Anything that happened, I'd bump my head and I'd say, "Thank you, Lord." I mean, any little thing. I was just aware of God. And you know, I regret now that it seems, even though I'm more involved in working officially for the Lord, I am sometimes so distracted with the work of the Lord, I forget the Lord of the work. In some respects, as a baby Christian, I was walking with God more consciously than I am now. And I've had to say, what was I doing back then? And I remember that first love, that experience. And that's what we need to do to have that. See, you can't obey God unless you love Him. And if we're going to have a revival, we've got to find our first love. A revival of obedience will always follow a revival of love. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. I'll be reading verses 11 through 14 if you'd like to turn. You might want to jot that down. You know, a person is really no more intelligent than their memory. Have you ever thought about that? If you have no memory, you have no intelligence at all. Your intelligence is really based upon your memory. And we know it's a tragedy. It sometimes, with age, sometimes it doesn't even require age. People struggle with dementia and Alzheimer's and these problems, and it's really heartbreaking. I've known people who were brilliant teachers and astute minds, and then something happens and they start losing their memories, and it's really tragic. I heard about a brilliant judge that went to give a speech, and they knew he was having trouble with his memory, and he said, "Don't worry, I'll write it out." Well, he had a secretary print it in triplicate because he was going to give a copy to the school so they'd be able to follow along, and one for his records. Problem was, he took all three copies with him up on the platform, and everybody sat and listened to this judge who had been famous for his brains. He read the first page, then he went to the next page, which was copy two of the first page, and he read it, and he had not recalled just reading it. Then he went to copy three of the first page, and everybody sat and listened to him read seven pages three times, and he never realized what he had done. By the time he got to the bottom of page, he forgot he had already read it. It's really tragic when those things start to happen. You heard about the man that went to the doctor and he says, "You've got to help me." He says, "I'm having trouble with my memory. I can't remember anything from one minute to the next." The doctor said, "Well, how long have you had this problem?" He said, "How long have I had what problem?" Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord, your God, by not keeping His commandments. How do we forget God? How were they specifically demonstrating their forgetting God? By not keeping His commandments. His judgments and His statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full. Now, what contributes to our forgetfulness of God? Notice here. What contributes to our being forgetful of God? Lest when you have eaten and are full, and you build beautiful houses and you dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and when your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all you have is multiplied, and you've got prosperity, when your heart is lifted up, you can become proud and self-sufficient, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You forget the one who saved you. You know how the Ten Commandments begin? This is a little pet peeve I have. When people quote the Ten Commandments, what's the first commandment? Ah, you did it. Ah, David got it right. First commandment, most people say, is thou shalt not have other gods before me. That's not the first part of the first commandment. The Bible says, and God spoke all these words saying, here's where you begin. This is all in the stone. I am the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The Ten Commandments begin with God reminding us He saved us. You can't take that out of the Ten Commandments because that becomes the motivating love for keeping them. It says, don't forget, I saved you, I love you, I brought you out of bondage. Now if you love me, keep my commandments. That's also so important because it avoids legalism. If we think we're going to keep the law to be saved, you've got it backwards. God begins the law by saying, remember, I've saved you. If you love me, keep my commandments. See why that's so important? That you don't neglect the beginning of the Ten Commandments. I'm the God who saved you. That wasn't just for the Israelites. He saved us out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. You were slaves to the Pharaoh, the devil. This is what that's all depicting in the Bible, and Paul even uses those same symbols. We forget sometimes when we prosper. Have you thought prosperity is always a blessing of God? It can be. It could also be a trap of the devil. What's the longest chapter in the Bible? Psalms 119. What book, if you open your Bible approximately in the middle, what book do you find? Psalms. In the longest book in the Bible, Psalms 119, 7 times it says, I will not forget. Now I'd like to read those 7 cases and notice what we're not to forget. Psalms 119, verse 16. I delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Don't forget what? His word. 119, verse 83. I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. Verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you've given me life. Verse 109. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. Verse 141. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts again. Verse 153. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Psalm 119, verse 176. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Now that's very interesting. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. That describes somebody who's gone astray, but they know they've gone astray. You know, there are people sometimes who leave the church, and they're out there in the world, and while they're out there in the world trying to enjoy the pleasures of sin, they can't shake their knowledge of God's law. They know they're doing wrong. They know they've gone astray. They haven't forgotten God's law, and they're under conviction. Praise the Lord, right? One of the things I think we ought to pray that God helps us remember, and we get in trouble because we forget, is that sin does not really satisfy. There is pleasure, passing pleasure in sin, but the devil is a master of hypnosis. He'll tempt you to do something stupid like drinking, and there is momentary pleasure in drinking. I used to drink, and you know, it can make you unwind, and you can feel a little giddy and happy, but he always wants you to forget the hangover. And I just talked to my father this week. He had his 77th birthday, and the kids called him on his birthday, and how you doing? Well, I'm going to have a hangover tomorrow. Still getting drunk, having a good time, having a hangover the next day. You know, sometimes I'll do something I'm ashamed of, and I'll feel terrible under conviction of sin. Do you feel that way when you sin and you know you've hurt God? Feel guilty, feel terrible, and especially hard on me because I think, oh, you what? You're a preacher too. How can you teach these people? What kind of example are you? And it's overwhelming for me, you know. And then I'll find the very same temptation comes down the road, and I forget how bad I felt when I slipped. The devil blinds you to the consequences. We forget that the pleasure of sin is temporary. We forget the shame and the misery and the guilt and the hangover that sin brings. I think sometimes it's helpful for us to say, Lord, help me remember what the consequences of sin are. You know, first question in the Bible that God asks is after Adam and Eve sinned and they're running naked, shivering from the presence of God, trying to hasten to sew up some fig leaves to cover their shame. And God says, where are you? Trying to get them to think about what sin had done for them. You'd ask God to help us remember. One of the things I'd like to invite you to remember this year, challenge you to remember, is prayer. we forget to pray. In the Lord's Prayer, now you realize the Lord's Prayer is a pattern for prayer. It doesn't mean we're supposed to just repeat that prayer over and over again, though that's not, it's not wrong to say that prayer. But he never said, recite this prayer in repetition. He said, in this manner, pray. It's a pattern for prayer. It says, give us this day our what? You know why we pray for bread and things on a daily basis? Because we live from day to day. That's the way our minds work. Sufficient unto the day. Disciples are crossing the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus has just multiplied the loaves and the fishes. He fed 5,000 people, took up 12 baskets of fragments and gave them to the poor to take home. Now they're crossing the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the disciples say, why is this leaven of the... you know, we forgot to bring bread. What are we going to do? It's going to take hours to cross. We have no lunch. The Lord's chiding us for forgetting to bring bread. And Jesus said, what's the matter with you? I just fed 5,000 people with basically nothing. How could you forget so quickly? That's not what I'm talking about. Our memories are so short-term. We just live from day to day. Now, because you live from day to day, how often do we need to pray? On a daily basis. You've got to get up every morning. You can't live tomorrow on your experience today. You've got to have a relationship with the Lord. Spend time on your knees every day. We forget to pray for ourselves, and you know, we forget to pray for each other. I've got a prayer list at home. My problem is I forget to look at my list. I'm one of these people that needs to take a time management course. I just don't ever have time to do that. Matthew chapter, I already read that to you. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, the Bible says concerning King Saul, 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 14. Little verse I just pulled out by itself. But he did not inquire of the Lord, therefore the Lord killed him. That's pretty heavy if you read it by itself, isn't it? He did not inquire of the Lord, therefore the Lord killed him. You know, sometimes we do things and we forget to ask God. You remember the story in the Bible where the Gibeonites knew the children of Israel were taking possession of the promised land? They knew the children of Israel were told to exterminate seven nations. The Gibeonites were one of those nations. So they used cunning and craft to try to get the Israelites to make an agreement with them. And they pretended that they were ambassadors from a country far away. And they got on these old camels, and they put on some raggedy old torn clothes. They got these worn out sandals and put them on their feet. They got these tattered wineskins and moldy bread, and they stuck it in their bags, and they came to Joshua and the children of Israel, and they said, we're ambassadors from a foreign land. We've heard about your God. We want you to enter into a covenant with us that we can be friends and allies. And they said, is that true? And they said, sure, look, this bread was hot in our ovens when we left, and look, our clothes were new when we left. They're all worn out. We've come from far away. And instead of taking it to the Lord, the Bible says that they just took him at their word. They didn't ask God whether or not to enter into this alliance, and they ended up making an alliance with the enemy because they forgot to pray. When you're getting ready to make big decisions this coming year, take it to the Lord in prayer, as it says in that song. Ask God for guidance, and don't forget to pray for one another. The Bible tells about when Joseph was in prison. He was in prison with a butler and a baker. Now, evidently, someone tried to poison the Pharaoh, and there was an investigation. They didn't know who it was. It was either the butler or the baker. And while they're both in prison, they both have dreams, and Joseph interprets their dreams. You remember? And he told the baker, you're going to die, and he told the butler, you're going to live. And you'll put grape juice back in the Pharaoh's hand, and he said, this is what he said to him. When you go back, he said, but remember me when it is well with you. Now, didn't we just read where Moses said, don't forget me when it's well with you? When things go well, we have a tendency to forget. But remember me when it is well with you. And please show kindness to me and make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house, the prison. Well, the Bible says in verse 23, this is Genesis 40, verse 23, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Who is Joseph a type of in the Bible? Type of Christ. Do we sometimes forget all that God's done for us? when we're prospering, we forget to pray. Then when Pharaoh had his dreams, the butler said to Pharaoh, I remember my faults this day. Suddenly it came back to him that he had forgotten all about the one who had been his benefactor in prison. We need to remember to pray. You know what's next on my list? Remember the scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 11, your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin. How many would like to have victory over sin? Thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin. We need to hide God's word in our heart. How often? Every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, when you pray that, are you asking for your physical food only? Or is it also the bread of life? Give us this day our daily bread. Well, the Lord is not going to pull it out of the sky and shove it in your ear. When you say, Lord, give me this day my daily bread, then you open your Bible and ask Him to bless it as He breaks it and gives it to you. And so we need to ask the Lord to sustain us spiritually every day. There is an appalling ignorance of Scripture among Christians compared to pagan religions of the world. I read about a missionary who was with some Buddhists, I believe, in China. She listened for 21 hours nonstop. These Buddhist priests were reciting from their sacred writings, seldom if ever making a mistake. 21 hours nonstop. I understand in order for you to teach in a Mohammedan mosque, you have to have memorized the Quran. You ever seen the Quran? Looks like it's as thick as the Bible. And yet you can ask the average Christian to recite the Ten Commandments and they can't get through the Ten Commandments without a mistake. Some can abbreviate them. And we expect to be able to stand against the deceptions in the last days. Friends, I'll tell you, you don't fully appreciate how important it is for us to know the Scriptures. Now, let me tell you why I'm talking about remembering. I think Jesus is coming very soon. Do you believe that? That was a cue for you to say amen. When Christ came the first time, was the church ready? Did they have Bibles in their possession when Jesus came the first time? So do we. Did they spend time going to church? Were they acquainted with the prophecies well enough to recognize Him? No. There was, even in the time of Christ, an appalling neglect of Scripture. Jesus had to constantly tell them, you are putting traditions of men ahead of the Scriptures. Is that happening today? Could it be that the church is going to forget the mistake we made the first time? You listening? We're going to forget the mistake that happened when Christ came the first time. We're going to repeat the same mistake. Because we're not acquainted with the Scriptures, we will be deceived. And instead of welcoming Jesus when He comes, we're going to run from Him. That's why I decided it was important to talk about memory and remembering. I think I read somewhere that the only thing we have to fear is that we're going to forget the way the Lord led us in the past. We must not forget, friends. We need to remember the Scriptures. Mark chapter 9, verse 31, notice what happened here. He taught His disciples. Jesus plainly said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men. This is Mark 9, verse 31. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill Him. And after He is killed, He'll rise the third day. But they did not understand this saying and were afraid to ask Him. He's going to die? I don't like that. That doesn't fit in. Now, very important point. Sit up. Pay attention. I want you to hear this. I look around. I can see sometimes when I'm getting through. I'm losing you. People remember what they want. People remember what they want. People remember what's important to them. If I say to little Stephen, tomorrow I want you to make your bed and clean out your drawers, think he's going to wake up and that will be the first thing on his mind? You'll never hear about it again. If I say, tomorrow I'm going to give you a puppy, the rest of that day, he'll say, puppy, what color puppy? How big a puppy? When will the puppy? Will it be a young puppy? He'll be completely absorbed with the puppy. I just saw, no, we're not getting him a puppy. This is an analogy. I forgot what I was saying. People remember thanks. People remember what they want to remember, right? That was a test. I really didn't forget. We remember what's important to us. When Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, that did not fit in at all with their plans for glory. They were going to sit on earthly thrones and be rich and reign with Christ. When he said, I'm going to die, that what? No, I don't understand that, and I don't want to understand it. But you know what? His enemies were also constantly spying on him, and they heard that statement because the Bible says, when Jesus was crucified, it says, on the next day, which was the day following the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered to Pilate saying, Sir, we remember. These are the enemies. Why is it that the children of the world are wiser than the children of light? Sir, we remember. You know, there are people in the world who are lost that can quote scripture better than Christians. So we remember, while he was still alive, how the deceiver said, after 3 days I'll rise. That is mind-boggling to me that the enemies remembered that he was going to rise, and they believed it more than the disciples did. Because they were so afraid it was going to happen, they asked for a guard to keep him in the tomb. We remember. Well, notice what happens. John chapter 2. Verse 22, the Bible says, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered what he said to them. Luke chapter 24, verse 6, he's not here, he's risen, the angel said. Remember, the angel says, remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise the third day. And they remembered his words. Well, I would too if an angel said it to me. Now Christ has risen from the dead. They're at the tomb, and the angel is chiding the church, saying, don't you remember? He told you. Now don't miss this point. How devastated were the disciples during the time of the crucifixion? Were they discouraged? Were they depressed? Were they low? You know why? They forgot his promise. I wonder how many times in our lives we are depressed and devastated and overwhelmed with discouragement simply because we're forgetting the promises of God. You missed your cue again. Right now I'm talking about memorizing scripture. That's what I'm talking about. We suffer a lot of unnecessary discouragement and depression and distractions because we forget very plain statements of scripture. How do you combat that? Spend more time in the Word. Become familiar with what God's saying to you. Now, I told our friends during Sabbath school, some of you missed it, and I'll repeat it here for the church service. I read the Bible every morning, and I listen to it every night. I try and meditate on it through the day. I listen to Bible tapes when I'm in my car. The radio stations in my car are preset to 4 Christian stations and 1 news station. You can go check right now. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 buttons on my radio. I don't do that because I'm holy. I do it because I'm wicked. I do it because I know that I'm desperately evil. I can't trust my heart. And the only way I can squeak by as a Christian is to completely immerse myself in the things of God, in the Word of God. Now, if that's true of me, I don't think it's a lot different with you. I can't afford to waste time listening to the gibberish of the world. I'll have no relationship with the Lord. I'll be hypnotized into believing the lies of the devil if I do that. I'm getting ready now to finish the Old Testament. I'm reading through the Bible on my computer. 31st of December, I finished the Old Testament. January 1, now I'm going through the New Testament. I'm taking a year to do it because I spend more time that way. And I study all the Bible all the time, but I mean going through it systematically like that. And I need that. Friends, I'm hoping I can inspire you to feel the same way. You can get Bible tapes. Put them in your car. Try to utilize every spare moment. You know something I've discovered? You know why Chinese people and oh, now I'm going to get it for saying that. How do I get out of this? You know how Asian people like rice? Is that safe to say? Someone's going to write me a letter, probably take over the church now. It's because that's what they eat. You know why Mexican people like beans and rice? because that's what they eat. It's not that rice is better than beans or sauerkraut they eat in Germany. I can say that. I'm married to German. Sauerkraut that they eat in Germany is better than rice. People like what they eat. What I'm saying is you develop an appetite for what you eat, and you get to the place where you like it. That's also true of spiritual things. Some people don't have an appetite for the Bible because they're eating other things all the time. And if you're constantly filling your mind with the gobbledygook that's on the radio, I'm talking about just secular music and garbage and watching TV all the time, you'll have no appetite for the Bible. But if you start making yourself read the Bible, at first it might take a little time of adjustment, but you will start liking it. You start getting used to it. How many of you growing up, your mother would put peas or spinach or something on your plate? You'd say, I don't like it. And they'd say, eat a little bit, you'll learn to like it. How many of you heard that sometime in your life? How many of you have discovered that there are foods that you did not like as a child that now you enjoy? Raise your hands. That means your appetites and your tastes can change. That's also true. How many of you still hate lima beans? Brussels sprouts? I still don't eat peas. I used to hide them in my mashed potatoes. But the point being, I just lost my illustration. The point being that you can develop an appetite for something that you didn't think you would like. You know, sometimes if you can burn your taste buds. Did you know that? If you eat food that is so overly seasoned, and we're in Amazing Facts talking about going to India, and we're being warned about the curry there and how hot some of the food is. And I've got friends who grew up there, and they said, you can just completely scorch your taste buds eating that food so you can never taste again. Some people have scorched their spiritual appetites with the things of the world, watching stuff that is so stimulating that when you read the Bible, it seems bland by comparison. That's why you got to be very careful what you choose to take into the avenues of your mind. One of the most important things I wish that I could impress upon you, friends, choose what you read and eat spiritually carefully this year, because you are what you eat spiritually. You need to read the scriptures. Would you like to know some things to do to remember better? We need help. First of all, you remember better what you say. If you hear something, you'll store it in one place. If you say it, you store it differently. I remember when I was in Russia. 6 nights a week we were doing meetings there. I'd never spoken Russian in my life. Karen and I got these tapes to learn how to speak Russian. They're still in my office right now. We listened to them in our room and on the plane over, and I learned how to say hello and goodbye and count to three. I just listening to it didn't do anything for me. But when I was preaching for 6 nights a week, the whole time I was there, every sentence I would say in English, instantly the translator would turn it into Russian. English, Russian, English, Russian. And then I started going to the marketplace and trying to speak Russian. I found out every word I said at least once or twice, I remembered. Hearing it didn't do it. Saying it made a big difference. After 6 weeks of doing that, our translator lost her voice, and I had to meet with the Russian leaders. The gift of tongues is the only thing I can think of. I was speaking Russian. It was broken, and they were laughing from time to time. But I was able to communicate what was going on as we made decisions about the baptism. I met with a room full of Ruskies, and none of them understood English, and I was able to communicate. It was amazing to me. Well, last week, Pastor Bailey and I met with a room full of Russians, and I thought, oh, watch how I show off. I could say hello, goodbye, count to three. I haven't been speaking it in, 5 years now? I lost it all. You know, if you don't share your faith, you lose it. The best way to seal the truth in your mind is give it to somebody else. You remember things by speaking. Another way we remember is by having mementos and monuments. All through the Bible, you can read the stories where when something great happened, they'd make a big old heap of stones, right? So this is here as a witness, as a memorial about how God parted the Jordan River for you, or whatever the memorial was. And whenever they saw that heap of stones, the story came back. They had monuments. It's sometimes helpful to surround ourselves with things. But you know what I found? You need to do things to your monuments every now and then, or you forget they're there. It becomes routine. My mother tried to teach my brother and I to brush our teeth. She got tired of spending Did I ever tell you the story? My brother and I, she got so frustrated that she just went hog wild one day. And my brother and I walked into our bathroom. We lifted up the toilet seat, and there, in permanent black magic marker, she put "brush your teeth" on the inside lid. We opened up the medicine cabinet, "brush your teeth." Everywhere we looked through the bathroom, I think she wrote it on the toilet paper, "brush your teeth, brush your teeth, brush your teeth." Well, that worked for a while, but you know, pretty soon, we lift up the toilet seat, we never even noticed it anymore. It was a monument that pretty, you know, just don't think about it. Sometimes it helps to freshen things up around you. You know, we hang things on the wall to help us remember. How many of you have done that? After a while, you don't notice it anymore? I heard about a man who owned a restaurant, a Christian, and he kept a 6-inch spike in his cash drawer. And a friend said, "What's that doing there?" And he said, "I want to remember that I'm not in business for money. I want to remember how much Jesus paid for me. Whenever I open my cash drawer, there's that spike. And it helps me keep my priorities straight." Now, we have something they didn't have back in Bible times. We've got photographs. And I married into a family that has an addiction to cameras. When they plan their trip, it's a toss-up between how much the airfare and the film is going to cost, which is going to be more. Grandma Lammerding passed it on to Bonnie, who passed it on to Karen. They take pictures for everything. The problem is we can never find the pictures after we develop them. We've got a closet in our house. We open it up, and an avalanche of photographs comes out. But we got lots of memories in there. So that's another way. We forget by forgetting to use things. Songs. You know, there's great truths that have been encapsulated in music. How many of you will hear a melody walking through the market and it's one of these old tunes and it brings back what you were doing at a certain place, a certain time when you heard that years ago, you know? Music's a powerful thing, and God told Moses to teach principles of truth to the children of Israel through music. Because music is a powerful medium in the brain, and those melodies will bring the... It's easy to remember words with music. They'll bring the words back. Using scripture songs is another way for you to memorize scripture. We remember through association, through experiences. Nothing teaches quite like experience. I remember one time playing with ants when I was about 4 years old. I never will forget that. And I was leaning over an ant hole watching the ants. I didn't realize I was sitting on a sister ant hole while I was studying the ants. By the time I got my first bite, they were all over my body, these red, flaming red ants in Southern California, and I was terrorized. They were swarming all over me, and I hadn't even known. I ran into my house, and I'm just getting bit everywhere. And I remember my grandmother put chewing tobacco on all the ant bites. I don't ever play with ants anymore. I never forgot that. You learn through experience. You know another way you learn? Most important? Holy Spirit will help you remember if you ask Him to. Jesus said in John 14:26, this is an important one, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you." When Christ speaks to us as we study His Word, we can claim the promise the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance what we need when we need it. That's why every day we need to pray for the Holy Spirit. Psalm 77:11-12, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and talk of all your deeds." Meditating on and talking about God helps you remember. We're doing that right now. Finally, in remembering, I think it's appropriate to also include, it's important to remember when to forget. Philippians 3:13-14. Sometimes you got to remember to forget. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Have you made some mistakes in the last year that you'd like to leave behind? Well, God wants you to remember to forget them, because He's willing to do it. Hebrews 8:12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more," God says. Is that good news? You know, we want to remember to serve God. We want to remember not to forget God. But you can also remember that God is willing to forget your sins. Sometimes in order to get on with life, we've got to let go of the past in order to enjoy the present and the future. Sometimes you got to look forward and not look back. Some people are so crippled by the failures of the past, they can't do anything. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom." You know the shortest verse in the Bible? What is it? Jesus wept. What's the second shortest verse? Remember Lot's wife. Three words. What do you think of when you think of Lot's wife? God's telling us to remember her. Why? She was looking back when she should have been looking forward, and she perished. There's a lesson in there for you and me. Not only is it telling us, like the children of Israel, not to be looking back longing for Egypt. Children of Israel died, a lot of them, in the wilderness because they kept looking back, saying, "Oh, it was better back in Egypt," longing for their slavery once again. But it also represents looking back on your failures. Some people never make it to the kingdom because they're constantly looking back at their failures. And God tells us, when you make up your mind to follow Him, you put your hand to the plow and you don't look back. Amen? You go forward in faith, knowing that God is willing to forgive and to forget. Are we going to remember the painful things of this world in the new earth? No. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. "For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former will not be remembered nor come into mind." Now, wait a second, Doug. Is God saying that when we get to heaven, He's going to brainwash us so we don't remember anything bad that ever happened in this life? I don't believe that's what it means. When it says they'll not be remembered or come into mind, you remember what you focus on. We're not going to focus on it. Let me prove that with another scripture. John 16:21. I'm just wondering, I'm going to do a survey. How many of you take notes of my sermon? Some of you, I see you writing. Oh, good. How many of you read along but you don't take notes? How many of you kind of just coast along for the ride? See what you're... Charlie, I appreciate your honesty. John 16:21. "A woman, when she's in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born in the world." Now, how many of you ladies that had hard labor... Oh, maybe I shouldn't word it that way. How many of you ladies that have had babies don't remember anything about your labor? Some of you, of course, you were unconscious, right? How many of you remember your labor? Let me see your hands. If you think about it, you remember it. How many of you spend more time thinking about your labor than your baby? Nobody. This is the point the Lord is making. When we're in the kingdom, the joy of being in the presence of Christ and being surrounded with glory in our glorified, immortal, eternal bodies is going to so completely eclipse and overshadow all the pain and suffering of this world that we will not focus on those things. Just like when a lady has gone through, well, it might be hours of labor pains and the baby's there, she instantly isn't thinking about the pain anymore. She's thinking about the baby, right? Well, that's the way the Lord says it's going to be for you and me in the kingdom. God's going to help us to forget the things that bring us pain. Are we going to forget that Jesus saved us from sin? No, we'd forget our gratitude then. Are we going to forget how much He paid for us? No. It takes energy to stay focused. The devil is an expert at distracting us. You know what a magician does? He creates diversions so that you focus on the wrong thing. The devil is a master at getting us to focus on the wrong thing and forget the most important things. You have to train yourself not to be deceived by his sleight of hand. Now, Jesus is getting ready to come back. We know before the second coming of the Lord, there's going to be tremendous deception in the world. There's going to be deception in the church. We are scheduled to be deceived unless you and I make an effort to remember the way God has led in the past, to remember to pray, to remember to study and commit His Word to Scripture, to remember to share our faith, because that's the best way to seal it in your mind, and to remember to trust in the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the reward ahead of us, to remember not to look back and constantly be remorseful over your failures. But don't forget your failures so much that you forget the consequences of sin. That's very healthy. As we enter into a new year, if you'd like to be committed to remembering God, to remembering not to forget God, I invite you to turn to our closing hymn. 310, I would draw nearer to Jesus. That's your desire. Let's stand together as we sing. 310, I would draw nearer to Jesus. As I get older, I'm finding that my memory is not what it used to be. Even though I'm comparatively young for some of us here, I've already noticed a deficit. Maybe it's because I used drugs and smoked pot when I was younger. I probably killed off some brain cells. Used to depend completely on my memory. And now I'm having to make notes, and then I forget where I put them. You're laughing because you do also. You know, the scriptures were recorded so that we might not forget. Man used to pass down information up till the time of Moses from father to son. I believe that maybe Jethro had the whole book of Genesis memorized, and he was a worshiper of the true God and a priest, and they used to commit these things in verbal oracles. They had it all memorized. Then as sin deteriorated the human race and our memories got worse and worse, we've come to depend more and more on records because we forget. Write it down. Today we've got records on our computers and tapes and videos and books. And you know what happens to this? It's becoming weaker and weaker because we're depending on the records. It takes an effort to strengthen your memory. And the most important thing for us to memorize is God. To forget that He's with us. You know, that's what it means to walk with God, to be aware of His presence. It takes an effort. Some of us would do well to tie a little blue bow around our index finger to remember God. Every time you look at it, say, He's with me. And He said He'd be with me always. As we enter into a new year, I want to challenge you to do something tangible. Call it a New Year's resolution. That sort of has a bad taste at times. But I think it is helpful for us to have resolve. If it's your prayer to draw nearer to the Lord this year, to be more conscious of His presence, spend more time in prayer, in His Word, sharing your faith with others, it takes an effort to remember God. If by His grace you want to surround yourself with the things of God so you can remember God and not forget Him, would you like to lift your hand in His presence and say, Lord, please help me to remember You this year. And He'll show you things you can do. Let's sing our last verse together. I would draw near to Jesus. Not only do we stand now on the threshold of another year, we are, we believe, at the very portals of eternity, and that Jesus is coming soon. Sometimes we've wondered, what will it be like just before Jesus comes? It'll be like this. You've told us that as it was in the day of Noah and the days of Lot, that people went on things as usual, and then it happened. Lord, I believe the prophecies are clear that we are living now at the very end. I pray that we'll not be slumbering and sleeping and forgetting the mistakes the church made in the past, but we'll be watchmen on the wall, be sober and vigilant. Lord, some of us here, both in this room and watching the broadcast, have perhaps lost our first love. We've become distracted with the cares of this life. Some of us have become distracted with serving you so that we forget about you. And I pray that you'll help us to remember, repent, and return and do the first works. To remember what it was like when we sought you with all of our heart, when we were willing to make any sacrifice to please you. Lord, I pray that we can experience that once again. Let there be a revival in each person's heart and life, and I pray that you'll help us to do the things that will stimulate that revival. Please bless us, Lord. I pray that we can be determined by your grace, because we know we can do nothing without Jesus, but by your grace, Lord, help us to choose this year to really know you through your word. I pray that we will do whatever it takes, Lord, to remember to pray. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be aware and sensitive to the opportunities you give us to share our faith with others who are lost and searching, knowing even that will strengthen our faith. Bless us, Lord. I pray that we'll not be a church that will hear you say that we've forgotten our God. We want to thank you now, as we go from this place, for what you've done in the year behind us. We want to remember the way that you've led and thank you for your blessings and give you the glory. We're not satisfied, Lord, because we're trusting you for greater things. We feel the same way about our personal experience, Lord. We're thankful for the growth, but we're not satisfied until we perfectly reflect Jesus. This is our desire for the year ahead, and we're asking these things in his name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls, please dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? Our email address is info@americancassette.org. We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and financial support are important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.